This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Wow, what a start to the morning, huh? Sheesh. Cold. Sia's wearing like one feeble, thin, tiny cotton t-shirt, and then he's got a big jacket over it. And he thinks...
No,
he
folks.
Thinks this is the normal way to dress in winter.
And what did I say to you in the car park, my bud? I said, I've been holding off for the longest time, but I had to give in that the cold is finally here, and I put a trench coat on this morning.
Well, trench coat, but you had nothing on underneath.
Yeah, you're not wintering right.
Oh,
just,
well.
I know you're not a mom, but help him.
You need to have layers, Sia.
Look, here's the thing. I may not be wintering right, but I'm sure I'm lifing right. You know, you still gotta show certain things.
But the point is with you, you've got no like body fat, so there's nothing to warm you. You have got to be extra careful in the winter.
You've got to have those thermal vests as your first layer. Then you put on like a long-sleeved something. Then you add maybe a jersey on top of that. And then you throw on the coat.
And you know what, Sia? As the day gets warmer in the middle, you take off layers. It's very clever. Yeah, people have worked this out over since we've stopped wearing skins.
That's such a big fuss to get used to and
then,
do.
All right, then be cold.
Yeah. No, I won't get sick. That's the one thing I will not do.
Yeah, well, you know what? You don't know that. And I'll tell you what the big thing is to not get sick is to not touch people.
Yeah.
Don't shake hands with anybody. Don't touch anyone you don't have to. Wash your hands when you've been to the bathroom, that kind of thing. I'm telling you now, you will cut out like 70 to 80% of the amount of available germ contact that you will likely have in the day. Just don't touch anyone.
Ugh.
Really, it's unnecessary.
It's that time of the year. People are going to start walking around with handkerchiefs. Those wretched people who don't know disposable tissue.
The handkerchief is the most disgusting thing. Like, I understand before they invented disposable tissues. That respectable people would have, you know, had a handkerchief on hand. That would have been right, better than wiping your hand in your sleeve or your nose on your sleeve or whatever.
People will start speaking with blocked noses.
Right. Yeah, but you now have no excuse.
A lot of elderly people still hold on to their handkerchiefs.
Yes, I've got a handkerchief in my pocket and in my handbag.
We finally got my dad out of it just like probably 2 years ago.
But it's an old school thing.
And for him, they all had his initials on there.
Oh, that's very refined.
Well, that was the only Father's Day gift we gave him every year.
So he had such an oversupply, he had to use them. He probably, poor guy, he probably hated
didn't
handkerchiefs.
Like them.
Yeah, he was like, I've got to wear these fucking things for the kids.
Probably.
Really?
It was that and soap. What a selection. What a lucky guy.
Well, I drove in this morning and there were like cars in all of our parkings. So I just, the first human contact I had this morning was to walk into the offices downstairs and say to them, hi, who's in charge here? Tell them not to park in our parkings. It's really bad, a very bad idea to make an enemy of me in the first 5 minutes of the day. Very, very bad. This poor guy, I don't even know who he was. He's like, I'm so sorry. We'll find out who. Like, you know, we can all get along. Just follow the rules.
Yeah.
There are signs up and everything. It's not like I'm being a douche. Then I get in here and the studio looks like a mess and everything's locked. Because we had people filming here until 9 o'clock last night. Mm-hmm. So every studio door's locked. So I'm running around like an idiot in the office, checking every drawer and every cubbyhole and cupboard and hiding place for where the keys might have been hidden. And nobody tells me. Did they tell you?
No.
Mm-mm.
So you wouldn't have known if you'd got here before me this morning.
I knew
what
that
the
locksmith
that?
Was here.
Yeah, doing the locks on all the doors. Because now we've got to lock the doors because people are here until 9 in the evening busy filming. And look, it's a temporary thing because we've got a whole lot of stuff going on in this building. It's just craziness at the moment. But it's like getting out of bed and dressing like Sia. You're just looking for trouble. You know? And then poor Ben has had a tire blowout on his bike this morning. So he had to push his bike all the way home. God knows how far that was. But knowing Ben, there's a lot of suffering involved. Poor Ben. Everything that could get... You know, like some people are just unlucky. They just have unluckiness.
Should we all just go back home and climb into bed and call it a day?
No, we're fine.
Okay.
No, we're
all
okay.
Right.
Everybody
we'll survive.
Listen, so yeah, these are not major... massive problems, right? We're not living in Gaza or in Israel, and we're not fighting in North Korea. This is, we're okay.
Perspective is good.
Yeah, perspective is everything. It's like just poor Ben. I mean, the guy has such bad luck. Only he could have a tire blowout at 5 a.m. What a thing to happen on a bike. And you know, he's lucky because if you're going quite fast and that happens,
ooh,
yeah.
Jesus, there's nothing. I mean, bikes are dangerous as hell. You speak to any trauma surgeon. Things that can go wrong on a bike. So he's okay. He tells me he's okay. He's just very sweaty from pushing the bike up the hill.
Ooh.
So now he's going to get an Uber to come in. So there we go. And even though it's Wednesday, Gord is not in. He'll come through either tomorrow or Friday. We're busy sorting that out. Justice in tomorrow for the Burning Platform. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of good stuff today. We're going to speak to an artist a little later on, around 7:30. This guy, I saw some of his work the other day. A friend of mine introduced me to him. And I just thought, you know what? He does these interesting cityscapes. Like, he'll take a drone and he'll photograph the border between, like, wealthy suburbia and the township to show the contrast of this lush green garden and then these dusty township streets and the way that people live in both sides of this. You know, he's not creating a painting. He's not making this up. It's a beautiful photographer. You know, it's beautiful photography, but it's to me, it's a beautiful way of representing such contrast in South African society. And we do see it everywhere, but we sometimes, you don't see it so starkly. So it's a magnificent thing to see, even though it's slightly discomforting.
And it's amazing to see how close those two contrasts are in those pictures.
Right.
They're right next door to each other, and you think to yourself, wow.
Well, you know, people often use the example of Santon and Alex, because they're just a stone's throw from each other. And the people who live in Alex live these lives that just, for the people in Santon, are just inconceivably horrible. And for the people in Alex, these lives that people in Santon live are just so inconceivably luxurious. It's incredible. And we do live in a world of contrasts. I mean, obviously, you know, there are places where people live much, much worse than the worst place in South Africa. And there are places where people live a whole lot better than the best places in South Africa. I mean, just yesterday we were talking to that dude who's been running the presidential guest house.
Or right.
Who ran it. Right. And who ran it for Madiba. And just listening to the kind of luxuries that the Saudi sheikh who came in and wanted 8 TVs up in his bedroom. And he wanted a certain blanket that cost 25,000 rand. And he used it once. And, you know, that's the kind of life that some people live. We have no idea. I mean, I was in London, 2 weeks ago now?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have money in London, I'm telling you, you live a much, much worse life than if you don't have money in Joburg.
If you don't have money,
things are expensive. It's really, really expensive. Eating out, I'm talking obviously about, you know, the kind of, because what I do when I travel, I don't know if this is true for everybody. What I do when I travel, I don't live a better life than I would at home. In other words, if I wouldn't go to a 5-star Michelin restaurant in South Africa, I wouldn't go to one in London. If I would catch the train or the bus here, if I were in town and I needed to get somewhere, then I would catch the bus or the train there. In other words, I don't live beyond the kind of standard that I'd live here, and I don't live beneath the kind of standard I'd live here. So I try to keep it the same. That way you're not always calculating in your head exchange rates and everything else, because you'll get a more or less similar outcome. It's just a good way to live. So if you go, well, you know, on a day like today, I would have a cup of coffee and maybe a muffin. I wouldn't go and have a 5-course breakfast at the Claridge Hotel.
For some people, that's the entire appeal for the holiday.
I know, and that's what people do. But this was a very quick trip. It was in and out. It wasn't really a holiday. So I like to at least keep things more or less the same. But London, even if you keep things more or less the same, is so goddamned expensive. You pay, I mean, public transport is expensive, even though it's so efficient. You hop on trains, you hop on buses, I didn't catch any taxis or any of that stuff. So it was all public transport. But even though it's really clean, really efficient, works on time, everything's figured out, you get your platform, you hop on, you've got your ticket, blah, blah, blah. It's still expensive. I bought a return ticket that I didn't even end up using the return because I got a different train, and you know, things like that that you, and it mounts up. Like, I can only imagine for people who live there, they don't make those kind of mistakes, but it gets expensive. Hey, Ben, you made it back.
Hey, guys.
We were worried about you.
Oh, that's okay.
You have a blowout of your tire on your bike. It's not exactly fun.
Yeah, it was a good place, though, because at least when I pushed it back, there wasn't many hills.
Oh, was it close to home?
Yeah, relatively close.
Shit.
Not only Ben can encounter something like this and not make it a thing.
Shitty way to start a day.
We'd be huffing and puffing and...
No, I would be.
Yeah.
I'd say to you guys, I'm sorry, I'm not coming in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Definitely. So sorry.
Let's try this again tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's also, you know, some people will find any reason to not have to pitch for something. I mean, I've heard people use an excuse that, you know, I have a sore foot, or I've just got so much work today.
Or my pet is sick.
My pet is sick.
That's an actual allowed excuse to miss work.
I've actually got a sore foot. And
people here have filled in forms. People here have filled in forms and given them to me and said, my pet's sick and I have to accept this. No, really.
Because their argument is, well, I mean, if it was a child,
right. You
would grant them leave, so you have to grant me the same leave.
Well, yep. I think that's a good argument, don't you? I mean, like I said the other day, people who don't have children, we should get some kind of a rebate. Because people who have children, they use that as an excuse all the time. I don't have that excuse. You often see, like, a mom driving badly because she's trying to control the kids in the back seat. You're like, well, when I drive badly, you're going to lock me away. She can get away with that stuff. Anyway, all right, listen, we got to get cracking this morning. There's lots to talk about. There's all kinds of chaos going on in the news in terms of what's happening in Israel. I see South Africa and the embassy here. There are a whole lot of things going on there, too. That's worth discussing. Interestingly, I found an article yesterday. This might only be interesting to people who are in the media sort of world, but even if you're a consumer, this could interest you. So Americans consume content so differently to the way that they did 10 years ago. For example, do you know that now, in the category 25 to 34, only 18.4% of the U.S. population in that age group, 25 to 34, only 18.4% of them watch live TV.
Wow.
Regularly.
Whoa.
Or at all. Isn't that interesting?
That is quite a change.
Only 10.9% listen to AM and FM radio.
Ooh.
That's come down from, like, in the 30s. Because people have always, you know, had alternatives in terms of listening. But now you've got more. Whereas in the category 50 to 64, that's obviously older people, 39.6% still watch live TV and 15.2% still listen to AM and FM radio. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I find that fascinating. And then you can see the lines are converging in terms of traditional and digital. You know, what people are consuming in media, just generally, whether it's print, whether it's viewing things, whether it's listening to things. So back in 2013, 85% of people were listening to traditional radio and watching traditional television.
Back when?
Back in 5 years ago. 2013.
Jeez.
And it's already down, and this is in an older age bracket, to 70%. So that's dropped 15, whereas digital stuff has gone from 14% back then to 27%. And it's virtually doubling every year from now. That's what they're projecting. So it's just unbelievable, right? I mean, if you think about how you didn't have options before. You didn't have much of a... You would get in your car and what would you listen to? You'd listen to whatever was on the radio.
Yeah.
Now you're streaming, you're downloading podcasts, you're playing the audio from YouTube videos, you're listening to audio books. There are all these options available. And obviously this interests us because this is the environment we're in.
Mm.
But 4 years ago when we started this, everybody said, oh, it's never going to work.
Well, every now and again online, I keep seeing articles about the number of viewers that DSTV has lost.
100,000 people canceled their subscriptions. 100,000. Think about that. That's a massive number.
Yeah.
And remember, that's a couple of hundred rand each person. In fact, a couple of thousand rand each person.
Oh, for the full bouquet, right? It's 900 rand, almost 900 rand.
Right. Yeah. So that's...
So that's 10,800 rand a year times 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm. How much is it? Do the maths for us, because you know we can't,
no,
Ben.
No, we don't know.
Ben,
yeah.
Figure out the maths for us, please, because we need all the help we can get when it comes to this.
Oh, my calculators. There we go. It's a lot of money, Gareth. It's over R1 billion.
Yeah. So over R1 billion that they're not getting that they were getting last year. How's that?
Wait. If you have the full DSTV bouquet for a year, that's 10,800.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah.
That's what some people earn all year.
Yeah. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So with the interesting thing, it's yep. like... It's this whole argument like, oh, we must regulate the innovators. No, no, this is Uber all over again. Just be better. Be less shit. Be less complacent.
Well, yeah.
I saw a lot of that stuff coming from DSTV, and I thought, you know what? You guys have got to shut up. You've lost the game already.
Yeah.
The minute you ask government to come in and protect you, you've lost.
Like, you want to regulate Netflix? What next? Regulate YouTube? Regulate a guy telling funny stories at a braai?
And then regulate the internet. That's essentially the point. They want to just shut down all the competitions. They can continue to be the only supplier of content. It's ridiculous.
It's because they know they can't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they want to try and control everything.
It's just so embarrassing. Firstly, you lose all the subscribers, and then you ask for regulation. It's like...
I don't know who this is that's taunting us, but this morning, yet another... message from someone who is having coffee and rusks instead of having to be stuck in traffic.
Oh,
see, it was that person in Cape Town yesterday.
Oh.
But they are saying that they're in their working class home in Cape Town, so they don't live this extravagant life, but I'm still jealous of them right now.
You still have a sea view or mountain view or something.
Mm. I will send you...
Capetonians have a view that don't have mountain or sea views.
Oh, well, you also have an artisanal coffee shop around the corner.
I will send the team some. What's your courier address? No, that's very sweet of you, but you don't have to send us rusks.
No, send rusks.
No,
screw Gareth.
No, I'll tell you what. I'll buy the rusks on your behalf. Oh. You don't have to. We're going to sit here and wait for a package of rusks in Cape Town. How schnorr are we?
It's called listener interaction.
And it's the thought that counts, Gareth.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying thank you very much for the thought. I accept your thought. And I'll buy the rusks.
No, you know what? Screw Saint Nudes. Send rusks.
So right.
In winter, that's
in winter,
what we need.
We don't care about the nudes. Send rusks.
That's brilliant.
Hey, by the way, my dog, for the first time, because last night was quite chilly, for the first time, he's like on the bed and actually wants to be around me.
Oh.
Usually the rest of the year, not interested.
Yeah, it was a big night for us too. Hopkins and Meowsers slept on the same cushion next to each other.
You see.
And they both alive to tell the story today?
Yep.
See? Sure. As soon as things get a little bit tough, people abandon their differences and bond together. And so do animals. Here's someone who says, guys, my dad just emigrated to Belfast in Ireland, and he told me that fillet steak is over 450 rand a kilogram there.
Yeah, when you live there, like, you eat mutton chops, like, drivel at best. You don't eat steak. You don't eat fillet anything.
No. Even mutton chops would be expensive.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, red meat is just... You see, that's one of the things in South Africa, and it is expensive here. And obviously, if you're poor, then it's too expensive because everything's expensive by comparison. But, you know, the little things that we kind of take for granted, the space we have. A friend of mine... She lives in this tiny, tiny little apartment. It's the size of a shoebox. And you know what kind of rent she pays?
Triple what we pay, essentially, here.
Easily triple. I would say more.
Jeez.
And if she wants to, and she's not even close to everything in London. She's like a little bit out of town. If you want to be close to everything, you are paying through the nose.
Or you're a prostitute.
Yeah, in which case you're renting the room by the hour.
Yeah.
Gabby says, I live 2 minutes from work. I'm still in bed with a cup of tea and a raspberry muffin.
Oh my word.
People are rubbing it in this morning.
People.
I like this.
How sick. You people are so sick.
They found our Achilles heel.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That is so cruel.
Some guy was taunting us with Jesus for 2 weeks and nothing. Rusks.
That's
muffins.
Great. That's so great.
You
I
know,
love it.
Speaking of steak, I see Tesco are going to launch the world's first store-bought vegan steak. It's a world first, apparently.
Vegan steak?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Store-bought. Well, it means it's made up of everything but steak.
Right. Yeah.
You knew.
But you know, these big chains in America now, probably Europe as well, they're making a big deal of these everything burgers, or I can't believe it's meat burgers.
Yeah. Mm.
So you pay kind of double the price, and you have these burgers that are not meat.
And you pay more.
You pay a lot more.
Oh.
Well, I look at how much I pay for my meat substitutes, and it's slightly more than
Well, being a vegan is absolutely more expensive than not being a vegan.
Yeah, and like sugar-free sweets are always more expensive than the sweets with sugar.
But if you do stick to a plant-based diet without trying to buy substitutes, it could work out easily.
Balances a bit, yeah.
Yeah, but these things don't, you know, in my mind, because I've been vegetarian for so many years, I'm starting to think like, yes, of course this patty tastes like a real patty.
Because you don't know anymore.
And a couple of months ago, I let my sister try. I'm like, oh my gosh, I tried this new brand. I'm like, this is so juicy, so succulent. She sticks it in her mouth. She's like, what is this?
Shame.
She says it does not taste anything close to real meat. So
My sister's also a vegetarian. So she cooks these horrible looking strips and flat things and, you know, like whatever you want to call them, meat substitutes is, I think, what you referred to them as.
It's just not the same.
Most South Africans I've met in the 4 years that I've been living in London seem to be doing well, and London is expensive, but the amount of money I make here is four times the amount I was making back in South Africa doing the same job, says Jared. When I go out and eat and travel to the center of town, it doesn't break the bank. If you're visiting from South Africa, you're working against a 16-to-1 exchange rate, so a beer in Central sets you back 80 rand. I would never pay that back home, but I do it most weekends here. Yeah, I suppose that's also a good point, is it's context.
Yeah, of course it is. I know if you go to Singapore and you eat like street food or just ordinary food or use public transport, it is a fraction of what you pay here. Yeah. So even though it's expensive to have an apartment, all those kind of things, your day-to-day expenses are kind of low.
Well, that's
especially
how we should,
when you're making money.
That's kind of where we should get, right? That's where we should get to as an ideal for the whole world. And I would never impose this because they're always going to be unequal societies. But it would be nice if day-to-day expenses were just much, much cheaper for people. And if it didn't cost you to have to go to your job. I thought of all these people with the bus strike that's just ended.
Mm.
I thought of all the people who've had to use taxis instead of buses. Do you know how much more expensive taxis are than buses?
Yeah.
So much.
And you imagine those people haven't been given an increase for the time that there's the bus strike. They don't even care about the bus drivers necessarily. They just need to get to work. So they've had to pay probably double, maybe even a little more, to get to and from work. And that transport price would have impacted really badly on their calculations for the month.
Yeah, definitely.
So, again, these are the things we should figure out. Someone says, any plans to add Google Casting to your app? We're actually talking about that at the moment, so thanks for the question. I'd rather eat vegans before I'd give up meat, says somebody. There's lots of interaction this morning on WhatsApp and on Telegram. 0797482090 if you want to join in the conversation. Vegan steak is a mistake, says Carl. Okay. And then this is interesting. Don't forget that every dictator starts as a liberator. This is what DSTV has become.
A dictator?
Yeah. After liberating us from the SABC's three channels 20-odd years ago, they've become the monster. That's true. That's Barry with a word of very, very good advice this morning. So loads and loads of people with messages, and you can send yours in too by going to 0797482090. Put it in your phone, and then when you feel like talking to us, you can just text us like you would a friend. That's the way it's got to be. All right, lots of really good stuff to get to this morning. It's already 6:30. Let's move straight into the five things you need to know today. It's brought to you by Mabale Moloi. And by the way, if you want to know more about your customers and speak to them when it matters, you need to engage with a company called Touchbase Pro. Here at cliffcentral.com, many people will know that we experience this firsthand because we use these guys to do our daily newsletter. And if you get that in your inbox, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you want to find out how to get it into your inbox, just go to our page and subscribe. It's easy to find. It's the only place to get the popular weekly conundrum every Friday. Have you seen the conundrum? It's back with a vengeance. This is one of our most, one of our favorite features in our newsletter is we throw a brain teaser at you to get your brain activated first thing in the morning. People like that. It's like some people do crosswords or Sudoku, or they answer a riddle, or they do some kind of general knowledge quiz or a trivia thing. Well, this is all of those things and more because it works both sides of your brain. So go in there and check out the conundrum. And it's one of the things that you'll get in our daily newsletter. You can turn indifferent and apathetic customers into customers who can't wait to talk to you and your brand by collecting meaningful insights and valuable info on what interests them so that you can target individuals and create new strategies. You know, we're big on that in this business. We don't think of you as being a part of a group of listeners. We think of you as an individual who's chosen to listen to us. It's a very high compliment. You know, when radio stations talk about their listeners, they're target marketing. They're putting you in a bunch of other people. They're saying, oh, they live at this kind of, you know, lifestyle range. They're mostly this, they're mostly that. That's how people talk in radio. We don't do that here. We talk about you as an individual. Touchbase Pro also does that. Touchbase Pro can help you with setting up effective email campaigns to maximize sales and to mend the love lost between sales and marketing. At the end of each month, you'll get a meaningful report to show your team, taking the guesswork out of email marketing statistics. Get to emailwins.co.za now for a chance to receive a mini strategic assessment plus an email campaign to 25,000 customers. How'd you like that for free? That's emailwins.co.za. With a Touchbase Pro account manager, you'll send emails to customers that they cannot ignore. Emailwins.co.za. If you change nothing, nothing changes.
Ah, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what? Get over yourself, because you're really, really not pretty.
All right. Wow. Thank you, Tan Mom. Thank you. Thanks. Just when I was starting to feel good about myself.
Jeez, goodness.
It's been harsh, hey?
She's right. Not mincing
over
words.
To you, Mubs.
All right. Ian Nielsen can officially join the very elite club of people who've held a job for the shortest amount of time. Dare's weekend special, Van Rooyen, is also in the same group.
Yes. What does he do?
No, Nielsen was appointed acting mayor of Cape Town last week. Oh. Like, and well, now he's back to being just the deputy. Oh my goodness.
Lost his bling.
Well, I'll tell you something. I saw such a funny meme. I think it was Songezo Zibi.
Oh boy, the memes were great yesterday about this whole story.
And he showed this Songezo's picture is this one of this person who's covered in mud and they're getting up out of the mud. And it says the DA after Patricia DeLille was reinstated. Jesus, the DA have miscalculated. Listen, I thought they had smart people in the DA. I really did. I thought, you know, strategically, because these guys were growing their support base, saying the right things. Morons, just like all other political parties. They're complete morons.
They're all cut from the same cloth.
Jesus. I mean, did these parties want to do themselves any more damage before the election?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, they kicked Patricia DeLille out, right, last week. And then Ian Nielsen came in as acting mayor.
Yeah.
And then DeLille wasn't having any of that. So she teamed up with advocate Dalim Pofu. They approached the Western Cape High Court urgently. And after a hearing on Friday, judges basically said that, you know, they reserved judgment and then they said, let's all reconvene on Tuesday. So that was yesterday. And then during a special sitting during the lunch hour, the court granted an interim order that the DA's termination of DeLille's membership be suspended, which basically allows her to return to the mayoral office in the interim.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
The full agreement, or rather the full Shame. Argument in her battle against the Democratic Alliance will be presented and heard on the 25th of May. But shame. Nielsen is suffering from a bit of sour grapes because he called DeLille a lame duck. Quote.
She just wants to get back to work. Did you hear her? She is playing this so beautifully.
I saw a great tweet of her on the phone looking busy.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going back to work for the people of Cape Town. She's like, I'm not wasting any time. I love that.
That picture is so amazing.
Yeah.
She is not only, I mean, listen, I won't say that that taking Dalim Pofu as your counsel is going to work for everybody, but it certainly worked for Patricia.
There's a great track record so far.
And Patricia and I are following the same line. We're like, get us back to work. I was back on the set of Idols a day later. Patricia DeLille's back in the Cape Town mayoral office a day later.
Didn't he also represent a cricket player?
Yeah, he was back in the Proteas team a day later.
And you know what? All the people who fired us or caused shit for us all looked like idiots the next day.
Okay, Dalim Pofu, you've got the magic touch.
The guy is on fire.
So listen to what Nielsen had to say yesterday about DeLille. Quote,
okay.
She can sit in the office and drink tea and drive around in CA1, but she's just not going to be able to do anything other than ask for oversight because the DA caucus is essentially going to call the shots.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, shame. Yeah.
This just sounds like the worst drama series that, like, didn't even go to TV networks.
No, it's like one of those B-grade movies.
Mm. They got to the pilot and they were like, nah.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'd like to be balanced about this, but the DA have fucked up royally with this one. And I'll guarantee you this is going to cost them not only in terms of their current reputation and Cape Town, but it's going to cost them national votes because people did not take favorably to this. Whoever was behind this, you have screwed up badly, my friend. You need to resign, whoever you are.
Mm.
And if it's a group of you, get out.
It's definitely a group. Yeah. Get it's out. An entire group of them.
Morons.
100 billion rand, that is the number, or rather that is the amount of money that South Africa has lost to state capture. Jeez. This was revealed by our Minister of Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan. He said that he would, however, leave it to Judge Raymond Zondo's judicial inquiry into state capture to conduct a full investigation of the matter. 100 billion rand.
That's a huge amount of money.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Does it include SAA, though?
Yeah, well.
That's probably a separate.
Probably doesn't.
Well, listen, he also laid down the law regarding practices of state-owned entities.
And by the way, everybody thinks that Pravin's such a hero. He's the one who's just given SAA their umpteenth bailout. So let's just remember this guy's, he's spreading your money around. He's not some kind of saint.
So he says that, among other things, state-owned enterprises will review their structures as well as their revenue-generating mechanisms and major contracts which were entered into in recent years. He says that board members will not be allowed to influence or get involved in procurement and supply chain management. So it would seem that he is promising a whole bunch of things that will be done differently. And then our Minister of International Relations, Lindiwe Sisulu, she's under pressure now over the Gaza carnage. This is because the National Freedom Party and the EFF both called for tougher action against Israel over the fatal shooting of nearly 60 people, including children, and injuries sustained by around 2,700 Palestinians. Our ambassador had to be recalled just the other day, and now Lindiwe Sisulu is facing all kinds of pressure, with people saying, no, we need to take a stronger stance over the Gaza carnage.
Yeah, all right. You know, this whole thing, and you see it in media in South Africa, there's a complete bias in the way that people are interpreting this whole story. I looked at what was going on over there, and I've done quite a lot of reading, and I've looked at quite a lot of the news articles from around the world. And this claim that Israel shot demonstrators is just a blatant lie. It's an absolute falsehood. If there was a peaceful demonstration inside Gaza, Israel would have provided water and megaphones. They've done this before. This was an attempt to invade a sovereign nation and border communities to indiscriminately slaughter civilians. And if you want to believe anyone else, believe the leader of Hamas who said this. He said, "My next sermon will be delivered in Nahal Oz," which is the town that he was talking about. "We will tear down the fence and tear out the hearts of these Zionists' bodies." Now, that's not how you talk if you're a peaceful demonstrator. And certainly if you look at the footage, there's no peacefulness in this demonstration. So stop it.
Well, the problem with this story is that everybody has picked a side, right?
Well, in this case, it's fairly obvious to see how the whole thing started. And it's fairly I may move my embassy, if I'm America, to wherever the fuck I want. I'm America. And South Africa can withdraw its ambassador whenever the fuck it wants. It's South Africa. But the fact that people have tried to invade if one attempt to breach this border had succeeded, thousands of people would have streamed in through the fence that had been breached. And there would have been fires set, communities would have engaged in war, there would have been real carnage on both sides. So before we hop to any conclusions about whether this is a case of equivocation, it really isn't. And there were early, this is the part that no one talks about, there were early warnings put out by the Israelis. There were leaflets put out, there were phone calls directly to Hamas leaders, there were phone calls directly to members of the community, on radio, social media. Non-lethal means like water cannons, tear gas, smoke grenades, rubber bullets, and that still didn't prevent this invasion. So how can you expect, what must Israel do? Let it happen? Let their citizens be killed? by a bunch of people who clearly are hell-bent on violence? Tell me how that's an equal situation for both sides. It really isn't. Ben, you've been in Israel.
I have, Gareth.
You've been in Gaza.
I spent 2 months on the border there. It's whatever you call a peaceful place, but these guys, you know, innocent people probably did lose their lives because Hamas are quite well known for human shielding. Like, they specialize in that kind of thing.
Yeah, 60 people did lose their lives.
Exactly. And some of them, as you say, probably were innocent because these guys, that's a tactic they love using. Mm. It's a very rough place. And unfortunately, the media does pick up on these things. I know from just being there, I know things change and everyone's got different stories, but I don't want to get too much more into it, but you hear horrible stories come out of that place.
I've got a very important question about Mabale's juice later, so stick around. Okay. But let's get back to the news.
Well, the last thing you need to know is call him President Jeff Radebe, because Cyril Ramaphosa and his deputy David Mabuza have left on international work trips. So our interim president is Energy Minister Jeff Radebe, who was appointed by Ramaphosa. Ramaphosa left for Geneva late on Monday night for a meeting of the International Labour Organization. Ooh, sounds thrilling. Mabuza, in the meantime, landed in Moscow for a working visit there, where he'll be meeting with Vlad.
Of course he will. I'm still going to check in with our boss every now and then.
Oh, boy.
Still have a massa.
Isn't that kind of nepotism?
What is?
What do you mean?
Jeff Radebe and Ramaphosa, aren't they?
Yes, they're related now through marriage.
So
they're both married into the Motsepe family.
Yeah. Oh.
Jeff is married to
Bridget
Radebe, who's one of the Motsepe daughters, or the sister of
siblings,
Patrice,
yeah,
and the sister of Tsepo. And Tsepo is married to Cyril. So yes.
Okay.
But then, what do you expect? I mean, we've heard about dynastic politics.
Sure.
That family lunch must be hella fascinating.
This kind of thing's been happening since day one. Why should it stop now?
Right.
Those are the five things you need to know.
All right, let's take a quick look at cryptocurrencies and then we'll get to Ben and the sport. But very important, Mabale, here's a terribly useful question for someone. Mabale, it seems from Migs, everyone wants to taste your juice, but whose juice would you like to savor? Is it Commons? And if it is, what flavor would it be? Fritos Blue Ranch?
What?
I don't know what flavor. How can you ask that, Migs? What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't understand.
This morning's messages.
Someone, he also says, by the way, Sia, what is the appropriate food and drink fare for the Prince Harry and Meghan Markle wedding TV viewing? I don't think Coke and popcorn will suffice, but tea and crumpets is a bit old-fashioned. So what do you think is appropriate for this?
You know, we are in South Africa at the end of the day, and we like ourselves a bit of booze. So I would do, and starts in the afternoon over here. And you're getting ready at like 11. I'll do like a mimosa. Why not?
All right.
And
I would say Pimm's. Pimm's is very English and very daytime. And
yes. And if we get kinda into the afternoon and it's nice and warm, even a gin, is that nice in English?
Yeah. That'll work. Yeah. All right. Very nice. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, Bitcoin is trading at, it's taken a big dive overnight, $8,202.02, and Ethereum also dropping down to $696.80. So don't bother looking at your cryptocurrencies today unless you want to be depressed. Ben, what do you have for us today in the sport? Yeah, no, don't. Just, I'm giving you some really helpful advice here. Take it away.
I've got people who are really bad at their jobs. Just so dreadful at their jobs. And again, we go back to the Cape. It's not just the DA. IX Cape Town. FIFA have a few rules that you need to kind of pay attention to. One of them is you can't be a player that plays for three clubs in one season. Okay. That's not too hard, is it?
Well,
1, 2, 3.
Yes.
If you play football, just look in your washing, your wardrobe, whatever. Count how many shirts have your name on it that you've worn this year. Pretty easy. Or just go on the internet and Wikipedia someone.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, again, everyone follows. So
what happened?
This guy, Tendai Ndoro, he played for three clubs, including Ajax. So Ajax bought him, they took him in, and he played three matches, and he wasn't eligible. So that's the simplified version of the story. They went ahead. Ajax now are in this promotion relegation battle. Team didn't go so well this year. But now they've been found guilty of playing an ineligible player, so they've been docked points. So basically, the three games that he played were deemed 3-0 losses. So suddenly, this PSL log, which was done and dusted, Platinum Stars are going to go straight down, and Ajax are going to be part of the promotion relegation thing. Well, Ajax now have gone straight down. They have finished stone last, 24 points.
That must hurt.
But then the teams that they've played against, this impacts them. So, AmaZulu, pretty good season. They're in the top eight. They get to play in the MTN 8. No, sorry. SuperSport United are now in the top eight.
How does this function? I mean, this
SuperSport United, as long as a couple of other teams, they then get the full points for the game they played against Ajax with the ineligible player.
Yeah.
So, it gets worse because now, today, at I think it's 10 a.m., Ajax are now going to the High Court to obviously appeal this decision. But it seems pretty simple. The guy was not eligible to play by those rules. So now they're going to obviously throw a lawyer money at it, blah, blah, blah. This is going to be a long, drawn-out case because it is huge, the difference between playing in this league and playing down below. But it just seems, how dumb can you really be?
But it also seems to me to be fairly just randomized. It sounds like it's... Someone has not thought through the consequences of decisions like this.
But exactly. What are they going to do? Oh, no. They wouldn't notice. I mean, I know no one watches PSL games, but trust me, the powers that be know what's going on. Yeah. You can't just say, oh, this guy's not eligible. Ah, just play him anyway. Oh, I mean, he's good. No one's really going to care. It's not like we're going to win the league.
Sure.
I mean, what is this? This isn't some five-a-side kick around.
So little respect for the fans, huh? So little.
That's a very good point, because now the fans are like, okay, so we support you week in, week out, all 17 of us, and you give us this. Now we're going to go down to the National First Division. Who's going to want to play this? What I think is even more dodgy, okay, let's just say Ajax are going to have their case thrown out of courts, because it seems like quite cut and dried. What normally happens here is that then, because the PSL being what it is, they're probably going to go to someone and say, right, you've just been promoted to the Premier League. Let me buy your license. So Ajax might come back. But at the sake of what? Like a Black Leopards or Highlands Park or whatever. Or they'll just go to someone like, I don't know, Polokwane City or whoever.
You'd swear that there was a lack of good management at the top of the PSL, huh?
Yeah, you would think, Earth. Strange, because we don't often think that. But this does shed the light onto that.
Right.
So Cape Town's just going so badly. Acting mayors, no water. Football team doesn't understand, like, you can't... It's just such a mess. It really is.
People were saying Cape Town's so great.
But it doesn't just happen in the world of football where players aren't eligible. Russia are going to the 2019 Rugby World Cup despite finishing fourth in the European section. Romania, Spain, and Belgium all fielded ineligible players. You can't be this dumb. You just can't be this dumb. The rules are quite simple. But this is an absolute dog show, the lower tiers of world rugby, because the refs are just these guys sound like drunks they've pulled out of the pub. A lot of these games end in violence because refs make terrible calls. And then when the big stakes come, you've got such amateur village people who are now going to the World Cup. So there's huge things at stake here. And they just think, well, I don't know, he looks kind of Belgian, let's play him. Meanwhile, he's like French. So those three teams are now out of there. Germany, who don't even care if they play rugby, they now go to a playoff situation where they could still make the 2019 World Cup, despite finishing like nowhere.
Wow!
How can you be this bad at your job? I find it staggering. I really do. But it's people who are also kind of bad at their job. Sansa. This issue does not want to go away. It's coming up in the news more and more about the whole thing of terrible refereeing in Sansa. And Sansa, what do they say? Nothing to see here. There's no problems over our referees. They're just fine. Now, I know what happens. These narratives develop in sport where everyone goes, oh, you know, that guy's cock, or this team can't do this, or refs are terrible. I know everyone jumps in the bandwagon because it's an easy thing to do. But more and more coaches, and they've got a lot at stake. When you talk up against a referee, there's a good chance you can get banned, you can get fined. It's not easy. But more and more coaches are coming out and saying, look, the refereeing is just not up to standard. There really is. I mean, Sansa actually blocked my video yesterday about me calling out how crap the refereeing was in this Crusaders game.
Really?
Yeah, which is quite strange because I posted videos like that before. So they've blocked that video. They are getting into their shells around this very touchy subject.
Hmm.
And they're just saying, nope, no problem here whatsoever. The referees are great. But if you're a Super Rugby fan, you know what I'm talking about here. But speaking of Super Rugby, Sansa in general, another story that's not going away is the South African teams moving to Europe and the possible move for more teams going to Pro 14 League. What is that? Where the Cheetahs and the Kings went to, because they didn't have any space in the Super Rugby franchises. So they went up there, they played the European team, same time zone. It seemed like a pretty good idea. So if more South African teams go, it makes more financial sense for South African rugby in general. But the bottom line is, if more South African teams go, New Zealand will be crippled. I've been saying this for months. They'll be absolutely crippled. I think it's a good thing to do. Not because I'm bitter or everything, but it'd be a good thing to do.
Okay.
And Sanzar again are putting their head in the sand going, nope, they'll never do it. They'll never move. They're with us for life, blah, 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 blah. But more and more articles are coming out. More journalists are putting their names to these articles saying, well, Sanzar could actually be missing another trick here. These guys, they could be missing yet another trick. And I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen.
Wow. So
and then they'll be like, oh, what happened? And then they'll be another- all like... They'll be all like DSTV, like, oh, let's regulate these guys.
Yeah, there's another great company that or organization that's run really badly by incompetent people, huh?
Complacent, sure. Incompetent people.
Wow.
That's what it comes down to.
Great.
People ultimately will take better decisions in life than you. So if your product's not good enough, they'll move on. We've seen it happen. Sanzar could be the next victim. Or just the person who's just done something stupid. Speaking of rugby, though, so there seems to be a bit of injuries. That is kind of the name of the game in rugby. And for Bok coach Rusty Erasmus, sorry, not coach, Bok Emperor Rusty Erasmus, he's coming into a tough stint. So much so that, well, they just really hope that Eben Etzebeth is somehow back. He is scheduled to be back on the 26th of May to play a home derby against the Lions. Of course, he doesn't really have anything in his ankle other than a little bit of sinew and magic, but he seems to always sort of come back a little bit. So Lota Jog is out for 4 months with a chest injury, which then leaves Peter Setatoi, Franco Mustard, Achia Sneyman. Those are your locks at the moment. So Etzebeth has to come back. Plus, there's no Warren Whiteley. Who's going to captain the side? Sia Khaleesi is my pick. He should be, but you know, it's not a given. So Etzebeth has to come back. All hinging on them being available on the 26th. Kaiser Chiefs, they've ditched their award ceremony for the end of the year. They've just got nothing to really be proud of, which is a big step. I think that's pretty funny.
That is hilarious. So they've just given up on their award ceremony.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're just not going to do it. And in tennis, it looks like they're going to try sort of quicken things up a bit. They're looking to implement a shot clock, which means that it is a 25-second serving clock. So you can't be bouncing the ball and pulling your underwear out your ass like Nadal does for more than 25 seconds. It's really good. Plus, warm-up times. Those are always quite labored and drawn out. So, yeah, less of that. All very good moves. And that's all we've got time for in the sport. It is 29 days to go until Russia 2018. If you've been following my bounce pods every morning, you'll see the Russian countdown. Every day I give a new fact. Today's fact is that generally 50% of Russian police are completely corrupt and will take a bribe.
50%?
Easily, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
That's your 29.
We have a lot in common with Russia, eh?
29 days to go.
Who would have thunk it?
Why do you think our corrupt deputy president is over there visiting them at the moment? You don't think that's coincidence?
Right? Wow, 50%.
Yeah. So your chances with the cop are half and half that he's going to try and exact a bribe or actually do his job. All right, Sia, what do you got for us this morning?
Make way for a new superhero, folks. Superheroes come in all shapes and sizes. And so there is a community in Canada by the name of Darling Island, and they have dubbed their new superhero Uber Rob. I know, just let that sink in for a moment.
Uber Rob.
His name is Rob DeCani, and he has been using his powerboat to ferry flood-stranded citizens of the Starling Island community and from mainland
like Uber.
All week.
No. Yes. Thank goodness for Uber Rob, because then otherwise more feet will turn up in Canadian waters.
I just forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me. Anyway, Darling Island has been battling this flood since last week.
Even the islands in Canada.
It's
like
all
darling.
Just a mess.
Even the islands, it's like, call it Darling.
Isn't
Darling
cute,
Island.
Though? I'd love to be a resident of Darling Island. Or just move in with Evita and Darling. Anyway, I digress. And Rob doesn't even live in Darling Island, actually, but he has been seeing what the people have been going through. They've been suffering over a week, and he thought, you know what, screw it. I have a speedboat sitting around in my garage. Why don't I just step up and help out? So he has been going around and just ferrying people around, and unlike the Uber, he hasn't been charging people at all. And he simply says, I do it because if I was in this situation, I would want someone to help me. And so these people have really been suffering for the past week, last week Monday, they could still relatively wade around the streets in just rubber boots. By Tuesday, people were saying the water was up to their hips. And by Wednesday, people were now faced to float on something or the other.
Forced to float.
Yeah. So thankfully, so Rob came to the rescue with his speedboat. Nice people have guy. Been saying things like he's a rock star, a mark of a true gentleman. What he's doing is simply heartwarming. Do you know that he's actually taken days off work just so that he can spend his days doing this? I don't know how long he'll be able to do it, but it's the thought that counts. And for me, the reason why I wanted to raise this story this morning is simply just because I thought of the quote, do what you can, where you can, with what you can. And that's it. You know, you don't have to change the world by going above and beyond and doing a bunch of crazy things. But, you know, who knows? You know, all Rob did was take his speedboat and it didn't cost him an arm and a leg. And it's just what he could do to impact change. So it's incredible.
Yeah, what a good guy.
Yeah, so far 273 households were affected in Darling Island and Rob has been helping those residents out. I think it's amazing. So shout out to you, Uber Rob, our new superhero this morning. And that's just it by Sia for today.
Thank you very much, Sia. Very, very nice. There's lots of good things going on. Despite all the news about bad people, there are also good people out there.
Bad people and random feet.
And random feet.
They're still Darling Island.
Lest we forget. All right. Very, very nice. When we come back, we'll check in on some news. It's Wednesday on CliffCentral.com. Good morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.